No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Friday? It is The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are checking us out on the Bama Central Facebook page, on the Bama Central YouTube page. You're watching us on Joe Gaither 6 on my social media machines, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We are a proud part of the Bama Central Broadcasting Network, broadcasting live from the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios here in Tuscaloosa. Well, really, here in Northport, we are just past the Tiger Rock on the left here in Northport. You can find Derek Daniel and his team right here Monday through Friday. Give them a call at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. We're going to have a fun show today. Hopefully have a fun show today. Invite you guys to jump in on the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to react to last night's draft picks, if you want to predict tonight's draft a little bit or talk about it, or any time of the weekend, obviously the voicemail line is always open. You can participate at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can also comment at Joe Gaither 6, at MA Woods, at Bama Central. Really, I'm trolling all the comments to find them and respond to them. So we appreciate everybody for participating. Let's have a fun show today with Mason Woods. Follow Mason Woods at MA Woods _ on the Twitter machine. Mason, what do you say? Let's talk draft. Let's invite someone. Let's a frenemy. Joey's a frenemy. Joey's definitely a friend, but also a Packers fan. So a little bit. Yeah. But we're going to get some boots on the ground reporting. Joey Van Zimmeren of Missouri Tigers on SI is covering the draft for us at the Walsh Writing Network. So we'll have him in a little bit. You see, it's not like a good plan. I mean, the Friday after draft should go easy, right?
I mean, last night was Christmas. It was, this is what we wait all year for. It was amazing. I saw, you know, a handful of people complaining about dragging out the draft, drag it out longer. I'll watch any bit of content you give me. I will sit there and I just love it. I love the draft, everything about it. Seeing these players' stories, I watched about the first, 10 or 11 picks or so with the ESPN broadcast with, you know, Lewis Riddick and those guys doing the more like analysis, which really poor analysis, I'll say. I'll just leave it at that. I switched over to the College Game Day broadcast with Herb Street, Saban, and them. And that one was
that on ESPN 2?
ESPN 3, I think.
Oh, I have to find that tonight, then.
It was remarkably better. I should have watched that. Was much better. Now, they did not do a lot of like projection. Hey, here's how this player is going to be. But it was just, here's how this player got here. Here's where, you know, he played high school here.
Would have liked to hear Saban.
Yes. And that was worth it. I think, you know, it was pretty funny because there was definitely a few moments where, like, you could just tell they threw it to Saban. What do you think? And he's like, he hadn't watched this player. He didn't know much about this guy. He was just, I think he's a great player. He's going to be a good NFL player. But no, that broadcast was much better. I was very upset with the way that the number one pick was covered and handled on the main broadcast. They spent the entirety of the Titans time on the clock talking about Shedeur Sanders, and then as soon as Cam Ward was picked, it was on to the next, which is fine. You know, I know what the Titans are. I understand that they're a small franchise that no one really cares about, that they're not very good, but like
it's the number one pick
in the draft. You know, everyone knew it was not Shedeur Sanders. We've known for 3 months now it's not Shedeur Sanders. So Mel Kiper, I don't understand why you're getting up there and talking about him so much.
You got a great story. Zero-star recruit to number one overall pick. It's ridiculous. I mean, we do recruiting on the show fairly often, and we talk about five-star, four-star. Oh, he's so good. Zero-star recruit. Went to Washington State, played, balled out, transferred to Miami, got himself a bag. Miami's defense was atrocious last year. I mean, we can talk about, like, spend 5 minutes talking about why the public may not be all on board. Oh, sure. Highlight Miami's awful defense. Show Cam Ward, leading a late drive. Yeah. Show Cam Ward getting down the field with Miami and talk about, well, you know, offensively, they were pretty good. Defensively, they were pretty stinky. Yeah. Like, it's the number one pick.
Yeah, it was very, very frustrating because, you know, that was a lot of the conversation surrounding Jaden Daniels a year before of like, well, he didn't win many games. It was like their defense was awful. Their offense kept them in every game. Cam Ward did not get any of that same grace in this draft coverage for whatever reason. I was not a fan of him initially. I have genuinely come around on it a pretty good bit. We've watched this a good amount of stuff and like, I feel pretty good about it. I think I trust the judgment of the people that they have in charge. Mike Borgonzi bringing him in from the Chiefs. He was a big part of the Patrick Mahomes evaluation just a few years, or not to say a few years ago. I mean, how many years ago now? 10 years
17,
ago,
17, almost. Yeah. Goodness, it's 2017.
But he was a big part of that evaluation, and I'm going to trust somebody that was a part of that evaluation. So I'm going to roll with it. I feel pretty good about what the Titans have. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say they'll be competing for anything this year because they'll probably be bad again. But, hey, you know, you go out and win 7-8 games as a rookie, I'm feeling pretty happy.
Tighten up. Cam Ward throwing to Tyler Lockett. Going to be great. And Calvin Ridley.
Tyler Lockett going to make a lot of business decisions this year. You know, a lot of catch the ball and get straight to the ground. I respect that.
That's okay.
Has extended his career that way for many seasons.
All right, so we are going to have Joey Van Zimmeren of Missouri on SI join us here in just a minute. He was in Green Bay last night. He's in Green Bay all weekend. I think he's been in Green Bay since Monday, probably.
Hate that for him.
Me too. He loves it.
I saw I'm not going to say a ton, but at least 3 different videos of different prospects all saying, we're out here in Green Bay. There's nothing to do here. And that was the general consensus, it seemed.
The only thing I'm sad about the Bears pick last night was not in Green Bay to have a miserable experience. I wanted whoever the Bears picked in the first round to walk out on stage and just get it was swarmed by a wave of boos, just overwhelmed by a wave of boos, and walk out the stage and be like, what the? Y'all boo it like, it's like that? All right.
It's like that.
Here we go. Yeah. But no, Colton Loveland was not in the building last night to be booed by the mentally challenged. that was my only downside. And then hilarious. Just hilarious. The Packers make their pick and the parking lot empties.
Oh my God. It was so, I said the same thing. It was so blatantly obvious that no one actually traveled to go see this draft. It was just only locals. Do not do this again, NFL. Put it somewhere where people want to go. Put it in a destination city that people want to travel to, and you will get massive, massive crowds at the NFL draft. What did it peak last night? I think I saw it was like less than 200,000.
Okay, I saw 250.
Okay, maybe that's what. Okay, maybe I might have seen an early number then. Still, the Nashville one was like
4 million.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Just do not do this again, NFL. I the green room back there, I saw someone say it looked like a furniture store.
It was.
I can't disagree.
It's like a big old warehouse.
It was terrible. I don't know. It did not look very good. It lacked a lot of the flash and the kind of glitz and glamour that the draft has, or at least has had the last 3, 4, 5 years. Don't do this again.
All right, so let's talk about this before Joey gets on here, but I want you to throw it to Joey so that he can gloat about this.
Sure. Okay.
But Clay Matthews, you mother. All right, no, I'm sitting there. The draft is getting started. They're rolling out the Packers legends. And, of course, like, I'm prepared. I know this is going to be a Packers slot fest for a couple hours. It's fine. I'm prepared. And they roll out the and Clay goes, excuse me, Roger, which I think was planned. But, like, they worked that out so well that it made me think, wait, he really is interrupting him. And he goes, excuse me, Roger, just off the cuff moment real quick. And I'm like, what's he about to do? And then he goes, special message from President Trump.
That's what I really thought was about to, like, go off the rails.
I was like,
because, you know, Clay Matthews has dipped his toes into some interesting media ventures lately.
Sure. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you're about to start the draft by dividing the broadcast. Yep. Doesn't matter what side you're on.
Good on you, man.
Positive, yay, Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Negative, boo, Donald Trump. Doesn't matter. Like, you're going to start the broadcast off with split right down the middle. Yes. Here's you some feelings. Okay. And well, let me pull this message out. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Yeah. And I'm on the edge of my seat, like, I'm ready to be worked. I am ready to be to go to one side or the other of the aisle. And he goes, the bear still sucks.
Yeah, he got you. He got you good.
Just like,
he got all of us. He got me too.
I was like, yeah. You know, well, you took me to the edge of, oh, am I about to be really mad about that or really happy or really like, what's going on? Yep. And then he's like, middle finger Bears fans. And I was like, okay.
It was pretty daggum good. Well
done.
Good.
Well done.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It was a perfect setup to have everyone be like, what is he about to say? Only for it to just be a dunk on the Bears. Good on you, Clay Matthews. You get your moment. Don't do the draft in Green Bay again.
Yeah, I had a
friend. What was the deal with the bikes?
Okay, so the bikes are a Green Bay tradition.
Okay, this is something I'm not privy to.
When you don't have cars in your city?
I guess, yeah.
When
you got, what, 10,000?
So what the tradition is, at fall camp, the players get paired with kids, and they ride the kids' bikes. I don't know if it's even 100 yards, but it's basically from a hotel, from a facility into the practice facility. Okay. And it's like a special Green Bay thing. Get paired with your Eddie Lacy rode my bike. Yeah. Eddie Lacy rode my bike for 4 years. Well, you know, mm-hmm. And I got to know Eddie Lacy.
Neat.
I got to know Hawkwind Dix, you know, some of these Bears, Packers, mm-hmm. Alabama guys. But like, that's the tradition is.
Okay. That's pretty cool, I guess.
We meet the team ahead of fall camp. They ride the kids' bikes into fall camp.
Yeah, that's neat. I guess I can't get that upset about that. I wanted to be mad, but I still wanted to see Roger fall off his bike. That would have been good. Would have been electric. The boos were good. I'll give you that, Green Bay. You booed the man properly. I don't like now that he does the, come on, bring it. No. You don't get to like own it, Roger. Everyone here genuinely hates you. We're not booing you for fun.
So, huge surprise at 12. Man, we sat here and played over under 1.5 Alabama players, and I'm like, okay, Jihad is a lot.
I mean, I never saw that coming.
31 slips all the way to 31 for Jihad Campbell.
How? Like, how are we letting this happen as a league? How are we letting the Eagles get their hands on Jihad Campbell?
This is
the Chiefs with Xavier Worthy all over again. It's like, how did we let this happen?
None of these teams valued a linebacker. It's not like that Jihad Campbell got passed over for another linebacker. None of these teams drafted valued linebacker.
The Lions would have been a great spot.
We got to start, though, with Booker. Because, oh, my God, what a moment. Just, you want to send me right into my boom, 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 boom. And he gets his name called and just loses his mind in the green room. Yikes. Not, no criticism.
Pure absolutely. Elation.
Yes. Right. And he's just hooting and hollering. Yeah. He grabs Jalen Milroe and carries him halfway across the room. One of my friends was like, Jalen's trying to steal the moment. I'm like, dude, Jalen is like along for the ride.
Yeah. Tyler
is carrying him. It is not Jalen hanging around making it about. It was.
Saw that genuine bond that this class that Alabama had, like that, you know, that between Milroe and the guys around him, the fellow captains of this team. You really saw that bond there last night between Jihad Campbell, between Milroe, between Tyler Booker. It was, it's one of those that'll put you in your field quick when you look at it. It was just a beautiful moment. Like Tyler Booker running through the hallway down to Raleigh, like a child. It was like skipping. It was awesome. Running down, you know, you see all the logos down there. He's tapping the Cowboys. Look like, that was fantastic. That really warmed my heart. Couldn't have happened to a better player, a better person. I think I, by all accounts, everything I've seen, everything I've heard, everything I've read about Tyler Booker checks out. Like, it seems like a great guy. I think Dallas will love him. I think the media will adore him. He will, be very well loved in Dallas for a long time.
Now, we usually are walking away from drafts, pooping on the Cowboys. At least we have been most of my life.
Yeah. Historically not great.
Jerry Jones, this is really interesting because the story for Tyler Booker was, oh, the athleticism, oh, the fall off, oh, we don't know if he's as good as the tape, blah, 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 blah. The Cowboys said, bleep that. We see the tape. We just lost an all-pro guard to retirement. We need an all-pro guard. We're taking him.
I like it.
The simplicity is beautiful.
Yeah.
Is we're not going to get lost in the underwear Olympics. We've seen you play for 3 years in Tuscaloosa, mostly at A to A plus level play. I mean, some mishaps, whatever. We know you can play left tackle if you need to, because we saw you do it one game in the SEC on an emergency basis. I'm sure you could play right guard if we needed you to, and you seem willing to learn how to snap the football if you really needed to. But here's your home, left guard. Zach Martin just left. The seat is still warm for you. We've got a really nice offensive line program the Cowboys always have.
Now three Tylers on the offensive line for the Cowboys.
Tyler.
Tyler Guyton, Tyler Smith, and Tyler Booker.
It's not squared. What is it? It's cubed. Yeah. It's Tyler cubed.
There we go.
Tyler cubed on the O-line. I think it's a maybe this is crimson colored glasses. I am not a Cowboys fan, but I think it's a perfect fit. And I really want to applaud the Cowboys for not getting sucked into the madness that is, oh, maybe Tyler Booker isn't as good as we think.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of the very few times where you can look at what the Cowboys did in the first round of the NFL draft over the last 10 plus years, probably, and say, like, man, they did a pretty dang good job. You know, I think it addresses obviously an issue they had with the retirement of Zach Martin. You bring in a guy to protect your massive investment in Dak Prescott, who Dak Prescott is constantly fighting injuries. So shore up that offensive line. Go ahead. That's it seems like a great plan all around. I think, you know, a lot of times the Cowboys have gotten sucked into, like you said, the kind of all the extra stuff with the flashy players and everything. And, you know, they go try to get a big name guy. But like, I think they just stuck to their guns here and picked someone they knew was good.
Jerry Jones said, kiss it. Keep it simple, stupid. Draft that young man, Tyler Booker. We lost to Zach Martin. I didn't know who to get.
I think
it works out great.
I think it's a great plan.
Now, before we go to Joey Van Zimmer, and I see him in the back end, he's about to join us. Let's knock out one more concept here. Yeah, Jihad Campbell slipped. Yeah, he went to 31. Yeah, we still hit the over on 1.5. But how much more interested are you in those Cowboys-Eagles games now with Jihad Campbell bull rushing, going in the A and B gap against his friend Tyler Booker?
This will be good time. the jersey swaps, you know, we'll get them twice a year probably between Jihad and Tyler there. I'm very excited to watch the two of them play each other, you know, in that division. Hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully because I don't really like wouldn't mind seeing them at least get competitive in that division. You know, they've kind of just been an afterthought the last 2 years or so. I think it's going to be great. I cannot believe Jihad Campbell is an Eagle. Good for him.
Howie Roseman is a terrorist.
Yeah.
On the rest of the league.
As soon as they traded up, it was like, oh, no. No. One spot. That's all they needed.
So they said that they traded into 31 because somebody else was trying to trade with the Chiefs.
Okay.
And the Chiefs were like, hey, we got some money. They might be taking Campbell. Don't you want to? And that's what got them to move on up.
Who it was.
All right.
I really expected to see some other trade backs in the first round. Well, but, you know.
ESPN sold everybody. This is going to be a wild draft. Yeah. Going to be trades all over the place. How many did we actually get? You got three. The Browns trade. You ended up getting
Texans traded the once, right?
Texans. So three or four.
Yeah.
But none of them were that wild to me. None of them.
Jags Browns was the craziest one.
Yeah. All right. So we should talk about that with Joey. The compensation to get to to Travis Hunter. All right. So let's go to
day for America.
Yes. Let's go out to our hotline and we'll find our friend Joey Van Zimmeren after we tell you about our friends at Warren Tire.
So my name is Russ Warren and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad. On University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Let's keep things going in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios on a Friday edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central with our frenemy, Joey Van Zoomer. And Joey is up in Green Bay covering all things draft for the Walsh Riding Network. You follow Joey Van Zoomeren at JoeyVZ_. Joey, have you found a good meal? Have you found any decent experiences in Green Bay, or has it just been about the work this week? Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Joe. I appreciate y'all having me on. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there's obviously a lot of travelers that have never been to Green Bay coming to this event, and I have a little bit more familiarity with the area and good places to eat. And I've been trying to go to the places that I know in the surrounding areas. I got here around on Tuesday evening, and ever since then, I've just been avoiding the area around the stadium at all costs when I don't have to be around there, just because of the foot traffic, car traffic, road construction, everything of that nature. But it's been great here in Green Bay. I'm definitely running on caffeine and having to do that again today, but it's been fun.
Well, I appreciate your time and getting up early. I know you were up late last night covering the draft, especially, I mean, on our end, Jahad Campbell at 31 kept you working all the way to the very end of the draft. So I just want to ask you your perspective on the event as a whole, how the city, how the NFL, you may not have heard the first 15 minutes we were disparaging the Green Bay. So we'll give your chance to respond and rebuttal. How has the event really been? We are that hundreds of miles away. You were there. How has the event really been?
Sure. Yeah. I was curious on how it would actually translate to TV. And I do have a little bit of something to compare to. I went to the draft in Kansas City when it was there for night one. And so, I mean, look, this is going to be, and I heard people talking about exactly this while we were waiting for it yesterday, of, you know, it's not going to be as massive and neat as it was in Nashville, Las Vegas, some of those other cities that have massive city spaces to be able to host this. And it's going to be different. I think overall, I think most people enjoyed the layout. And it's been a real long project for the Packers as a team to get this event here. They really started, I mean, they've been wanting to get this since they took it away from New York and started traveling it on the road. And so, I mean, they've had a lot of their construction projects. They've completely revamped this area around the stadium to where this is basically a theme park, and have been building up to that with the draft in mind and obviously all the other economical benefits of that. And so this is really its week to show it off. And so, again, as somebody with familiarity with the area, it is pretty neat to see Green Bay get this attention, have this many people travel here for this event. But I can definitely see where on TV it might not play out as that. And, you know, I think they said the official attendance number was 205,000. But obviously just when in that main crowd area there, it's not going to look as concentrated.
Yeah, I think, obviously I was watching it on TV. The TV broadcast maybe did not quite give you a feel of a 200,000 strong crowd, you know, if that's kind of what it peaked at there. I am curious, though. You know, you said that obviously there are some people traveling. I'm just kind of curious what the split has looked like, whether it's you've seen more out-of-town people who did travel to Green Bay for this event, or it's more Packers fans, because, you know, Packers make their selection last night. It looked like things started to clear out a pretty good bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's probably about 90% Packers fans, I would say. But I feel like a good amount of them have traveled as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about some of these picks, Joey. We were hanging out with Joey Van Zumeren of the Walsh Writing Network, writing mostly for Missouri Tigers on SI. He's up there in Green Bay covering the draft for Missouri Tigers on SI, Boston College Eagles on SI, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Maybe Vanderbilt Commodores on SI. Doubtful, but maybe. All right, so let's talk about these picks, Joey. We've been obviously zeroed in on 12 and 31 with Tyler Booker and with Jahad Campbell. So let's just throw both of those two at you. How do you feel about those fits? Were you as surprised as I was in my living room when they said number 12 overall, Tyler Booker? Obviously very happy in my opinion, but were you surprised? Digest those two picks, and what do you make of the two Alabama guys getting drafted in the first round?
Yeah, absolutely. With Booker, I was kind of expecting it to be more in that second round there, starting around the 20s. And then with Jahad, it was really, I wasn't sure to see where he would go. I was expecting it to be quicker than 31. And there was reports that Philadelphia was trying to trade up initially from 32 to 23 with Green Bay to select Jahad. And then he ends up falling into their lap there at 31.
No, anyways. Hold on one second. Mark Mitchell would have done that last year or next year. But the fact that it was in Green Bay, Mark Mitchell, he gave the Packers fans the drugs. He said, y'all want a wide receiver? we'll circle back to that because I know you want to get to it. But I love that moment. All right, Philly tries to trade up with Green Bay. Continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, like you guys were talking about, as with both of these guys, I think it's an example of just a really good fit for these teams and just kind of how this NFL draft shaked out. There was an analyst for ESPN yesterday, I forget who was talking about how this draft specifically has been difficult to mock, and it's just a lot more based on draft fits. Who, you know, what exactly are you looking for? What system do you run and things like that? And I think for both of the Alabama players that were selected last night, you can see that. And I mean, especially with Jahad Campbell, I think, he was not upset at all to be selected at 31, I could see. And to go to a defense specifically with Vic Fangio and how they utilize their linebackers, I mean, Zach Bond comes to mind. I think it's a real exciting place for Campbell to be in. Same with Tyler Booker. I mean, offensive line factory.
So, you know, we talk about the fits with those two players. Obviously, those were kind of our main focus here, but it seemed like, you know, I thought a lot of teams really honestly drafted well in this first round. It felt like I didn't feel like there was a ton of really bad reaches or anything. You know, what was kind of your, I guess, just overall takeaway? Really, were there any other teams that jumped out at you as like, hey, this guy, you know, this team really made an excellent pick here. This team really got a good, maybe a steal here or anything like that.
I would say I do really like Derek Harmon to Pittsburgh at 21. I do like that. I know there was talk that they would take a quarterback. I thought overall, I mean, the quarterback subplot to this all was really interesting to follow last night, and another thing to follow into this night. And I'm sure we'll talk about where Jalen Milroe fits into that. it was interesting to see too the Giants trading up and then taking Jackson Dart. Some thoughts on that, just being in the SEC.
Go ahead. What do you think about it?
That was maybe the one reach that I kind of didn't think about there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like with quarterbacks all the time, it's just you can't, it's not something you can skim out on, and even from year to year. So, and really, honestly, I mean, Jackson Dart might not be the most exciting quarterback prospect to be your face of the franchise going forward, but I think you got to roll the dice every time you need one. And so I get it. I know a lot of people were probably expecting Shadur to be the next quarterback off the board. You got to trade up in that first round to get that fifth year option for quarterbacks too.
Yeah, it certainly made sense from that standpoint. I think, it seemed like the Giants at least are pretty sure that they've got their guy there. So, if you have your guy, you go up and make sure that you get your guy. I understand where they're coming from there. I want to ask you about some of these Missouri guys. You know, you are our Missouri reporter there for the most part. Obviously, Armin Membu goes to the Jets. I really just get your reaction there. And then Luther Burden does not hear his name called in the first round. You know, this is a guy that I think for a lot of the SEC season heading into the draft coverage, you know, maybe not as the offseason kind of progressed, we saw him maybe slip a bit. But, you know, for a lot of the year, this guy was viewed as a first round pick, was like, oh, he might be the best receiver in this draft. I'm just kind of curious to get your reaction. He posts the photo last night. He gets his late night workout in, obviously, to maybe work some stress out, work some frustration out a little bit. But just kind of what was your reaction to those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, with Armand, it's been interesting to watch his just incredible rise up the boards ever since the end of the season, really. And it was around the Senior Bowl where it started. He didn't participate in the Senior Bowl. He had to skip out because of a stomach bug. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people caught up to seeing just how talented Armand Membu was and was able to see that. So Armand, I think it was interesting to see how the Jaguars trade up for Travis Hunter kind of changed things up a little bit in those top six picks. But ultimately, I think no matter what, Armand would have went to New York, and not if not New York, probably very soon after that. I wouldn't have been surprised if Carolina was reportedly trying to trade down. I wouldn't have been surprised if somebody tried to trade up to 8 if he was still available then. So excited for Armand there. With Luther, yeah, I mean, it's been another interesting prospect to follow through this cycle here. And it's been frustrating to watch, I would say, just because of it seems like a lot of what people are pointing to is the drop-off in production, which I understand. I think it is something to say like, hey, what happened here? But to me, there's a clear answer. Exactly. There's a clear answer to what happened here. Like you don't have to look too far. I mean, and overall, just with the Missouri offense and all the struggles they had there, to me, there was absolutely zero drop off in Luther Burden and what he showed his potential can be. So I think overall, this wide receiver draft class was pretty interesting. I think the way we thought about it was kind of tainted even by Travis Hunter and not really having a category to put him in. And then what do you think about Tet McMillan? I know a lot of people thought Carolina was reaching for him at pick number 8. And so again, I think too, like back to the point of draft fits, like the teams that drafted, well, I mean, Emeka Ebuka from Ohio State and then Matthew Golden, both of those guys have more proven ability to be number one guys. I'm not a massive fan of the term, but just so we're on the same page. And then Luther Burden, I don't like the term gadget, but at least in college and immediately out of college into the draft, you're probably looking at more of just a slot weapon. But I do definitely think he has the potential to develop into a guy that can play boundary and be a really well-rounded wide receiver. So I'd expect Luther to come off within the first 3 or 4 picks on this. There's the Titans who did a pre-draft interview with him, and then the Texans, I wouldn't be surprised to see it take him to at 34.
I feel like I've heard from a lot of people, but no one wants to actually provide any details that Luther Burden has like off the field red flags and he's got to.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard anything of really any merit to back any of those claims up?
As far as like actual, I know for sure that scouts and teams have concerns about it, but as far as like if any of them are true, I have no clue.
Yeah. Concerns related to decision making, so related to like discipline. Just give me
like an area.
Yeah,
we don't need details, but just generalities.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's a big like scandal that we don't know about. It seems more so like there's a anonymous scout who had a quote in an article from Bob McGinn about it. And it was some very odd thing that was like, he called out Luther's family. He was like, I think he said that his girlfriend is his agent and is difficult to deal with. Okay. And that the quote was, his mother is a problem.
Okay.
And then they talked about in that too of how he went into Missouri and they coddled him for 3 years, gave him special treatment, didn't pressure him at all. And to that, I mean, I think ultimately, I mean, who's to say on that? But for Luther Burden, I think that that concern of just being entitled only there for the money, I think that's, well, obviously only a result of NIL. And with that, Eli Drinkwitz has said before that after the 2023 season, Luther Burden came to them where he was first team all SEC and he came to Missouri and he said, he gave them a blank check and said, look, pay me how much, whatever you think I'm worth and whatever makes sense for our roster, which I think really speaks volumes about that. And really, Eli Drinkwitz has had nothing but good things to say about Luther's character over the past few months. And to me, Eli Drinkwitz is not a guy to, if he doesn't like you, he's not going to lie and say it says he does. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of that, you know, if that's leaning into it or if it's more just the everything else we talked about with him.
All right, we're hanging out with Joey Van Zimmeren of Missouri Tigers on SI. Really, all things Walsh Writing Network. You read his work this morning at BamaCentral.com, already writing about Jihad Campbell and Tyler Booker. Let's pay some lip service to our friend Roy from Lake Gunnersville. Roy is a big Packers fan as well, Joey. So I want to ask you, one, how a couple of multi-part questions, let you take over. One, how easy or difficult did you find it being able to, okay, I'm a journalist or I'm a Packers fan. I'm here for the event. That's part one. And really take us to the Clay Matthews Open. I already kind of spoke my displeasure, but you can celebrate that. And then the pick, Matthew Golden, really, we addressed it, kind of set it up. Mark Murphy, we want a first-round wide receiver. Give the people what you want. The people went crazy. Put us in those moments as a Packers fan, as a journalist, and really just as both.
Yeah, absolutely. So when the Packers pick was coming up, I was just in a very busy moment. It was a very hectic moment. The teens there waiting for Tyler Booker to come in for his press conference and waiting to see if Luther would go in the first round and then Jihad Campbell as well. But I definitely kept on monitoring when the Packers were coming up. And I really thought because of the players that's selected before them, I really thought Green Bay was going to trade down. And I think they spent 8 minutes on the clock beforehand trying to do just that. So, yeah, I mean, as far as my reaction to it, I was definitely very excited for that. I was able to keep calm for the most part and obviously did not have any vocal reaction, but it was very exciting. And then as far as Clay Matthews' introduction, I wanted to experience some of it outside of the media workroom, so I went out there for the first 10 picks. And oh, I saw that. And so when he started talking, I have a message from the president. I'm like, just what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. I was like, no matter what the stance is, like, why are we getting political? I mean, people are being riled up either way. There's some people booing, there's some people cheering just at the mention of the name. And so I was like, Clay. And then when he had that message, I thought it was hilarious. And that was at least the most ruckus part of the night I experienced in my time out there. I think it was a awesome start to it. And then as far as Mark Murphy's introduction, he's always done a really good job of being able to connect with his Packers fan base. Although I should say post Aaron Rodgers saga about 3 years ago and post not so much in the Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers transition in 2008. So I was impressed that he was able to know that saying for the first time since 2002 would cue the real Packers in there, because yeah, it's definitely been a point of conversation for them. And ultimately I'm happy for Mark Murphy to be able to get his moment. I don't think obviously at an NFL scale, but even within the Packers fan base, people recognize just how much he's done for this franchise. And this weekend hosting this event is really a culmination of all of that. So I was excited to see Mark get a good reception last night.
All right, I'll have to make sure that Roy in Lake Gunnersville hears this portion for you. We'll flip it to the other side of the coin, the right side of the coin. How much How much trepidation surged the crowd as they announced, with the 10th pick, Colston Loveland for the Chicago Bears, tight end for Michigan. I know everyone was shaking in their boots.
Well, it was interesting to follow, again, through those first 10 picks, the reaction of Bears fans, because by far, I mean, makes a lot of sense, by far the most second most represented fan base was Chicago. And so there was... obviously, there was a lot of chatter of Chicago probably getting Ashton Jeanty at pick number 10 and the excitement for that. There was even a guy I saw that had what I think was a Mitchell Trubisky jersey, and he had duct taped over it Jeanty. So they were looking forward to that. I don't even remember the reaction when they selected Loveland.
So terrified.
exactly of the years to come. But I do remember, like, afterward, like, just a parade of Packers fans yelling obscenities and taunting Chicago for not getting Ashton Jeanty. So that was certainly entertaining.
Oh, it's always a fun night. And, man, I know here on this show and in this state, people think Alabama-Auburn, and maybe Alabama-Auburn is the number one. I don't know, Joey. We got a special thing going. I like having you on our show. We are friends, but I hate your guts.
That's a part of it. My neighbor from across the street was a Bears fan, and so I was like 5 years old playing pranks on a 40-year-old so I could find creative ways to talk crap about the Bears.
I love it. All right, so was it as prevalent in the building or in the atmosphere, the Shadur Sanders? I mean, every time a pick happened, every single time, Walter Nolan picked, Tyler Booker picked, doesn't matter. It was, why wasn't it Shadur Sanders from Mel Kiper Jr.? Mel Kiper, I don't know what Deion paid him, Deion must have paid Mel Kiper, must have paid Louis Riddick. They were all just sour every time he got passed over, which, okay, I don't care about business relationships or whatever, friend relationships. Was it as prevalent in the building or at the facility, the Shadur Sanders dropping?
No. I mean, the only reason I knew that there was anybody freaking out about Shadur Sanders going past the top 10, 15 was because I saw people on Twitter complaining about how often they were talking about him on the broadcast. So, I mean, there was definitely not that. There was nobody within those first 10 picks within the media workroom throughout the entire first round that was like, what is happening with Shadur Sanders? But yeah, I definitely saw the complaints of how the broadcast was handling that.
Was there a lot of shock within the building when the Giants trade up to go get Jackson Dart and that pick was not Shadur Sanders? Or because, you know, I'm sitting there on my couch and everything I had kind of read over the last week or so seemed to indicate that the Giants were not huge fans of Shadur Sanders. At least the coaching staff was not a huge fan. So I was pretty dead set, like, oh yeah, this is Jackson Dart here. But it seemed like a lot of people were very surprised. Did it in the building there? How did it feel?
Yeah, absolutely. At least in the media workroom, it was mostly a surprise reaction to it being Jackson. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point of how the Giants felt about Shadur, and again, just differentiate what you're looking for in a quarterback.
All right, so it happened. It restarts again tonight, 6-7 o'clock or so.
It was six tonight.
Okay, yeah. So we're moving it up an hour to squeeze in an extra round.
Good deal.
Joey Van Zimmerman, how much longer will we be waiting on Jalen Milroe to be selected? And will Milroe be selected before Shadur Sanders?
That's an interesting question. I mean, who knows how Shadur interviewed? I mean, to Mason's point about the Giants, maybe Jalen Milroe, I mean, at least from my interactions with him, I wasn't interviewing him to be a multi-million-dollar investment to my job, but very, very genuine person. I don't know. I guess you would probably say that Shadur at least is more day one ready if you're a team that's still looking for that. But Jalen Milroe is content on having to go to a team and wait for his opportunity. But I ultimately think I think Shadur goes before him, and I think that will be the first domino for anything with Jalen. And then after that, I don't really think there's any quarterbacks that will go until we get to that Riley Leonard day three range.
So what's your plan for tonight? How are we attacking the coverage? Are we expecting, you know, of these first, you know, I see the Browns, obviously, they've got two early picks tonight. Do we think one of those is going to be Shadur? Is it going to be everybody starts to scramble to cover? Oh, Shadur Sanders finally gets picked. Everybody's losing their mind. You know, what do you think your evening's going to, how is it going to go?
His evening's going to go Jalen Milrow, Luther Burton.
There we go.
Well, yeah, so for the first few picks, I don't think I'm going to have the luxury of going out there because of waiting for Luther and Jalen in those first few picks.
These so Titans make the right decision.
Yeah, so I'm hoping just selfishly for my work purposes that Jalen and Luther are both selecting those first 10, 15 picks of the second round, get that wrapped up, get the press conference with Jalen, and then be out there to enjoy the third round.
What do the Packers have as far as picks tonight?
They just have their standard second and third, so at 23 again. Usually they have a lot of extra draft picks this year. They don't have any trades that they made, so I would not be surprised at all to see them move up or down at some point tonight.
Bears have two picks in the second round, none, I think, in the third. Your Titans are up at the top of the first round, top of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I don't think they have a third round pick.
Oh, no. So you got to make it count tonight.
Yeah, got to make it count. Luther Burton, I'll take it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any big picture things we've missed, Mason, with Joey before we let him get breakfast and,
you know, I'm just a nap? I'm looking here just at the first 10 picks of the second round here, and you know, we talked about Shadur probably likely being the fit if the Browns do decide to go quarterback, and after that it's, you know, the quarterback needy teams drop off a bit until I think the Saints at pick 40. Who dat? Does that feel like maybe the fit for Jalen Milrow tonight? Maybe the Saints at 40, or are we maybe sensing potentially, you know, another team trading back up for him? I feel like the Saints could be an okay fit.
Arlovsky wanted Shadur there.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think, again, just for the situation, I mean, there's uncertainty with Derek Carr and what his health is going to look like for this year. But I think Jalen go to a Saints would be a little less pressure immediately, at least.
I think New Orleans would love him, too.
Who dat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Joey, have a great time tonight. Eat some cheese curds. Really enjoy yourself. I know we've been having a little fun about Green Bay not being fun, but enjoy yourself. Cheese curds, spotted cow, burger, it feels wings.
Like, feels like Green Bay is one of those things where it's like, if you love it, you love it.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, some people just don't get it, and that's okay. But like the people that do get it, they absolutely love it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just like a college town to me. This was my experience. I didn't have a college school that I really fell into. So growing up, I mean, to me, this is just a college town in the fact that the whole entire city is revolved around this team. So it's a lot of fun.
Enjoy yourself tonight. Follow Joey Van Zimmeren on the Twitter machine at @JoeyVZ_. He's going to be tweeting all kinds of coverage about all the teams in the Walsh Writing Network. He's definitely got to be writing a Donovan Ezeraku piece right at the top of the second round as well. We can't forget about Boston College. Joey, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the weekend. Get as much rest as you can, and you're doing great work.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That's Joey Van Zimmeren helping us out. Really, really a rising star in the Walsh Writing Network at the NFL Draft. I give him a lot of hell for the Packers fandom, but he is a grade A journalist, and he's going to be a superstar in this industry for a long time.
Yeah, you can go, you know, if you haven't, go check his Twitter feed out. Like, it is full of he's asking very, very good, insightful questions to a lot of these players who are getting drafted. You know, it's not just your run of the mill, like, tell me what it feels like to be drafted.
Mm-hmm. And Joey does a good job coming on here because it stretches his boundary. When I ask him fan questions, it like crosses his all the wires in his brain because he's like straight journalist, and that's great. I'm trying to pay him a compliment, but he comes on here and lets loose a little bit. Exactly. He's a superstar, and I hope that he has a great weekend, and I hope that he covers what 3, 4, 5 more Bears future Hall of Famers this weekend. All right, Mason, second and third round tonight. It's like, only Jalen Milrow for us in our range. You're not getting Malachi. Yes. You're not getting, second and third. It's just Jalen Milrow. I think it's I think it's basically Jalen Miller or Shedeur Sanders for these quarterback needy teams.
Yeah, I think those are going to be, you know, maybe some team tries to reach on Tyler Shuck, but it wouldn't be me.
I would love it if Jalen goes before Shedeur.
Oh, me
just,
too.
Just off the interviews, just off the... I mean, Jalen's parents are involved, but they're not. I don't think they're involved like Deion.
No, I don't think they are either. Jalen Milroe did not set up his own draft warehouse with cameras in every angle of the room to film the entire night.
How that one played out? Because like I saw people tweeting about draft house, built his draft house, and
I don't know what the space was, but it looked, at least from the videos and pictures I saw, they rented out a very large event space, set it up to be a big draft party for Shedeur. He had all these camera, you know, it's Deion Jr., the brother that does not play, that just films everything. He was walking around with a camera. They've got cameras set up everywhere, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, you see he had a couch with his little like legendary moniker splatter all over the wall behind it. And, you know, it was very obvious meant to be like, all right, he just got drafted. We're going to interview him. And he never got to sit on that couch last night. And that warmed my heart.
Wild.
I you know, I had a lot of grace for Shedeur for a while. I did, because I would see, I would watch the, not regularly, but occasionally, the videos that Deion Jr. posts. And like, you get to see a little bit behind the scenes of stuff that maybe media is not releasing about. And, you know, Shedeur, it seemed like a lot of his Colorado teammates did genuinely like him.
Yeah.
He's lost all of that grace for me in this draft process with just kind of the way everything's gone, all of the reporting I've seen. Now, again, you know, maybe I shouldn't believe the reporting. Maybe it's all smoke and mirrors, but I don't know. To me,
How does that play in training camp on the first day that you struggle? Because you're going to struggle. That's just inevitable. You're not going to be perfect. It's fine. That's not crazy.
I think Shedeur Sanders is going to have to do some very serious soul searching to kind of figure out where he wants to, what he wants to do to succeed at the next level, because it's not going to come easily for him.
All right, so let's close this show down. You've got Alabama-Missouri softball starting tonight, going into the weekend. You have Alabama-Missouri baseball. All right, so great. We got baseball. Are they at home as well? Softball versus Missouri baseball.
I think they're both at home.
All right, great. So we whoop it up on the Tigers this
baseball
week.
Baseball won last night.
So. I saw that. Yeah. Will Miller writing that. Will texted me like, love you, Will, but I was asleep. he said, who's posting the stories tonight? I'm asleep. So it's going to be a fun weekend. NFL draft. I'm going out of town Saturday for family funeral. It's going to be okay. No problem. Other than that, Mason, anything else? We'll talk to you on Tuesday, to the people on Monday. Anything else?
No, I don't think I've got anything else for today.
All right, let's wrap it up. Everybody, we appreciate Warren, Tyre, and Auto for sponsoring the program. We appreciate Derry Daniel for sponsoring the program. You can sponsor the program, too. Just get into my DMs. We'll talk. We will be back on Monday with another edition of the Joe Gaither Show. We'll have Theo Fernandez. We might have Hunter. I might reach out to Hunter. We'll at least have Theo. We'll be breaking down the NFL draft. We'll find out if Theo is ready for Jackson Dart. I know he's a big Giants guy. So we will do that on Monday and start setting up baseball, softball postseason. Oh, before we get into the doldrums of the real offseason. So we'll have a lot of fun. I hope you have a great weekend. Find us on the Twitter machine, on the social media machine. Send the show to a friend. We'll talk to you on Monday on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.